Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick, and let's go now to North Korea. Following that country's sixth nuclear test this past Sunday, North Korea's ambassador to the UN said that the U.S. will, quote, continue to receive more gift packages. The United States has said that North Korea, meanwhile, is begging for war. Now, Americans, in fact, most Westerners, we're doomed to view North Korea from the outside. Isolated and secretive. But not Soo Ki Kim. She spent most of 2011 teaching English to North Korea's elite at Pyongyang University, and she wrote about it in a book. It's called Without You, There Is No Us, Undercover Among the Sons of North Korea's Elite. We wanted Soo Ki Kim to join us with an insider's view on how North Koreans see the United States, the latest escalation with the West, and their lives under the steady gaze of the great leader, Kim Jong-un.
You know, it's a very, very controlled, isolated cult that's functioned incredibly successfully. It's the biggest brand in that nation, the great leader. So you can't really lessen that by slightly. I mean, the amount of control that I saw when I lived there undercover was astounding, far worse than what I had even glimpsed or envisioned in my decade research leading into finally living there after visiting a few times and researching it for a decade.
So how do North Koreans, everyday people there, Soo Ki Kim, receive messages like fire and fury coming from the president or the UN ambassador saying North Korea is begging for war? Do they get that news? They only get it through a propaganda filter. I'm aware of that. What is it like when this rhetoric ramps up if you're an everyday North Korean?
First of all, everyday North Koreans don't get really information except their state news, which only screams about the great leader all the time, how great he is. You know, that's not that different in some way, I hate to say, to Trump tweets of how great he is. But in any case, that information is really not reaching the people. And the threat of America and fire and fury business with America is actually how North Korea perceives America anyway, from the beginning. I mean, you know, the great leader is great to North Koreans because he is preventing, he is fighting for their country, protecting them from the American, imminent American attack, which split the Korea into two, the original division back in 1945. So this, you know, information, whether it's fire and fury or this threat, like none of them is new to North Korea. So it's a different way they live than here. You know, you would think that people would sort of voluntarily think about, like, bigger pictures. You know, even if they had that ability, a lot of that has just been squashed. And also a system is constantly controlling them where they don't wonder and run away with their curiosity. There's not a lot of time. North Koreans are constantly busy having to do duties for the great leader. Everything is watched all the time. So it just works differently, the system in there.
So, Soo Ki Kim, you're describing a situation where you said there are lots of dead ends. Sanctions won't work. A military strike won't work. The country will never give up its nuclear weapons. And they have a culture of real religious fervor and ideology completely focused on the dear leader. That sounds like only dead ends. Are there any streets here that don't lead to a cul-de-sac, in your view?
No matter how you look at it, there's literally no other option. But people in there would have to somewhat change. And that is almost an impossible thing. But pouring information in there, any effect that might happen from that is kind of the only light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm thinking of it long term. It's not like you figure this problem out for a few years. You know, we did that actually with the last administration. It was just called strategic patience, which means literally doing nothing. Right now, we have basically the same thing, but with the president sending this, you know, very violent messages, American president. So, like, neither of those things are in any way long-term vision of what to do about this country. That's a nuclear power with a cult leader. So then the people inside really do have to, you know, not rescue, but that they would have to change so that this system of the great leader stops. And the only other light that I see is the fact that we've had three generations of great leaders. There have been three guys. And the last one, latest one, Kim Jong-un, the youngest leader in the world when he rose to power, seems, at least on surface, far more reckless And I think that what that means is that, you know, it might be possible that we might see a regime change due to the fact that he is not as meticulous of a leader. I mean, he killed his brother and uncle within a few years of rising to power. You know, so I think that what we're seeing is possibly a leader who's not as meticulous, or, you know, there might be a problem within the country of wanting the people wanting to change the leadership. And also the world has to, I think, somehow help instigate that problem by pouring information in there.
Can the United States, can South Korea or other Western countries find a way to break through that ironclad wall of information that the great leader and his predecessors have built so strongly? Is there a way in to shine that light into North Korea?
I think that we do have to look at North Korea as a seriously deep problem of the end of humanity, where if you were to instill things, changes in there, then you do have to study it like a subject and how to find ways to pouring information in so that the system erupts. I mean, I think that's a longer in-depth homework, but we keep sort of putting it off and sort of dealing with it momentarily until, you know, the next administration in whatever surrounding countries. And here we have, over 70 years later, the problem has gotten literally one of the most worst violators of human rights and worst threat to humanity with, you know, this sort of cult mad leader detonating nuclear weapons. I mean, there are different ways already. People are trying that. It's not working, but some dribbles, I think, are able to make way in there. When I say dribbles of information are able to make way in there. And I think that might really be the only way that the system might end.
Suki Kim, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Suki Kim is a contributing editor at The New Republic and author of Without You, There Is No Us, Undercover Among the Sons of North Korea's Elite.